D&D has come a long way in the past few years. And if you're looking to level up your dice as well as your gameplay, Modern Artifice has you covered. Their artisanal metal dice sets are high-end, look great, and give a satisfying weight to your dice rolls.
Check out their solid metal sets like this Critical Silver Reactor, which even glows in the dark. Or try their hollow frame dice, intricate metal woven into our favorite polyhedral shapes for a truly unique rolling experience.
If you're into something more classic, Modern Artifice has a plethora of colored and themed resin dice sets so you can find the perfect set to match your character.
Feeling adventurous? Try Modern Artifice's mystery dice sets. This grab bag will give you a full set of resin or metal dice. You never know what you'll get, but you know it will always be quality.
So get yourself to modernartifice.com today and use code GOON10 at checkout for 10% off your purchase. That's GOON10 at checkout for 10% off. Modern Artifice, your one-stop shop for magical merchandise and nerdy novelty.
Irina, you're making a face like Drogar does when he is being very serious. What are you thinking about?
Oh, hello, little sister. I was thinking about Ismark. I miss him. This is the longest we've been apart since we were children. I do hope he's okay. Too much time alone has never been good for him.
He'll be okay. He's got Danica and Erwin and Rudy and Vasilka to keep him company.
Yes, that's true. I suppose we are more alone out here than he is within the walls of Valaki.
Yeah, it's kind of like my favorite story that my mom used to tell me. This little girl has to go on a quest to save her whole village because this witch disappeared them. And she's so scared because she's never left home and she's never been without them before. But she learns how to be brave, and all these hard things she has to do, which seems so impossible before, it ends up being good for her.
That is a bit like us, isn't it? Certainly there's a witch waiting for us, at least. How does your story end, Winnie?
Okay, so the girl is like, I'm gonna do it. And then the witch is like, no, you're not. And she eats the girl's whole horse so that she can't ride away. And then the little girl gets trapped in the desert. And then this friendly moorbounder finds her there. And they defeat the witch together.
Well, it's a good thing we've also got Tallyho here with us, isn't it?
Rawr, I'm a carnivore. I eat witches like Kaz eats her porridge in one bite.
How could we possibly lose?
Hey, Dungeoneers. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Strahdcast. If you like what we do here, remember to follow us on YouTube or subscribe via your favorite podcast app to get notified every time we release new episodes. Thanks again, and take your listen with advantage.
When last we left our heroes, they took some time to recuperate after a fierce battle with the Wicker Man. Drogar had some words of wisdom for Dimitri, and Irina wrestled with questions of selfhood. Laszlo was finally able to admit to himself the depth of his crimes, which brought some small semblance of peace to his restless soul. Their brief respite drawing to a close, our heroes prepare to venture deeper into the swamps, where Baba waits. Will our heroes finally meet the witch at last? Find out now on the Strahdcast.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Shuffle off this mortal coil and transport yourselves to the far, foggy realm of Barovia.
We return to our quiet breakfast, contemplating the events that are about to come and the dangers therein. And I think, yeah, at a certain point, we sort of like finish our meal and there's this sort of quiet where everyone is like, knows what comes next. And that is finally making your way to Baba Lasag after all this time. There's just this moment of quiet and realization where everyone knows what comes next, but no one's quite ready to take the next step. And the time is yours.
Kaz is coming to learn that she has resources that she can use in that she is part of a party of people who are smarter than her. So I think, you know, primarily to like Drogar and Dimitri, one very learned and one very studied, she'll just say,
any of you guys ever fought a witch before?
DM?
Well, geez, I don't know. In 528 years, who's to say?
I would like to say that I've come across a hag. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've fought. You know what? I will take that back. I think I've come across a witch. I don't think I've come across a hag.
Why don't you give me either history or arcana? And we'll kind of let the dice decide.
I would like to invite Dimitri to make that check as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. Great.
But given that Babalasaga is a family enemy.
What do you have, Drogar?
That is a 16 on the die. And I'm actually going to do Arcana for this. And that's a 20. They're both the same plus, but I think that Drogar would know more 20. Of the
arcane
aspect of this creature than the history of
or of their relationship with magic.
He's not great. A monster hunter. Yeah. He's a cleric, you know.
Yeah. So, hags. What you know, Drogar, they're very rare hags.
Yes.
And so even in a lifespan that lasts 528 years, I think to come across one openly would be something. But what you know about them, they're very tied to nature and the Feywild.
Yes.
And so they are inherently mischievous spirits. And you know they love nothing more than making deals.
Yes.
And generally, much like devils and many other nefarious creatures, those deals are never quite what you think you're getting into. You also know...
Yep.
I'm so scared of this witch!
You also know that if you don't know that Babalasaga is necessarily a hag, but you know that it is very common for hags to travel in a coven, which generally consists of 2 to 3 members.
Oh, God.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Oh.
Wouldst thou like the taste of butter? Oh. A pretty dress?
You know, Cass.
I would like to know the taste of butter.
I would like a pretty dress.
You know, Cass.
Oh, but maybe some cinnamon. Maybe some cinnamon would be nice. You know, Cass, I have much more of an experience with devils and demons. However, they are quite similar. Hags are Feywild creatures. And because of that, they are fickle. They are mischievous. They serve only their own turn. They don't serve us in any way, shape, or form. And they do this by making deals. But deals with honeyed words. Words that don't mean what they seem. My fear is that she will try to entice us with something. Much like Strahd with the gift of power, disguised as something else.
Good to know. I was mostly going for, should I hit her with something hard or something sharp?
Is she not going to want to fight us right away? Is she going to want to wheeling and dealing?
There is a chance, Winnie, that in seeing us, she might strike. But there is also a chance that in seeing us, she might see an opportunity to use us against each other.
Oh, boy.
Were I a hag, as I am a tactician, that is what I would do.
Also, to answer Kaz's question, Drogar, you would know that they are corporeal, they are physical beings, and so they are subject to all of the injuries that mortal weapons can induce. But they are crafty and dangerous beings, and so while you can injure them with weapons, going up against one with nothing but, you know, spears and swords is not a great idea.
I will say, Kaz, that were you to face one one-on-one with just Cactus, you still might be killed. And the reason I say this is because hags are mischievous creatures. And although they are corporeal and can be harmed by your weapons, that is not to say that you can hit them.
They try to get into your head, huh?
Yes. But they try to confuse you with multiple images of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or they transform into mist or fog. So whatever comes, we must be ready for anything. But know that whatever this witch decides to tell us, she is not here to serve our turn. She is not a friend.
I'm just nervous about what deals she might be making. Not that we need to, but should we just promise to each other that we're not going to make any crazy deals without consulting the group?
Sounds good to me.
I think that's very wise.
Dimitri?
You won't catch me making deals with the hag. She has been an enemy of my family for many years. We must be cautious. She is ancient and powerful, and if the legends are true, she is at least in part why Strahd is who he became today. Anyone who helped create that monster must be handled with great care.
Do you think that we should try to be sneaky when we come up? Maybe, I mean, I'm sure she can see stuff, but maybe we should just
kind of get the lay of the land, maybe see what exits there are in her house, see where the windows are, just in case.
I think that is a good thing for you to keep your eye on when we enter her estate. Keep an eye on the exit.
Back on the streets of Melvaunt, we used to play this game with cards called Dragon Jack.
Huh. That's my girl.
And the people who were really good at it were the ones who could read their opponents and get in their heads. Kind of like what it sounds like you're saying a hag would do.
Yes.
But nothing would throw off a good player more than someone who came in and just recklessly threw all the rules to the side and became unreadable.
So we got to dragon jack her up.
That's going to be me.
I am suddenly fearing for my life.
If I don't know what's going on in my head, she won't know what's going on in my head.
Olaf, you keep an eye on Kaz. Dimitri.
Look, I think a solid plan B is always just to throw Kaz at the problem.
We do have a Kaz. Dimitri, I have a task for you.
Okay. What would you ask?
It is a difficult one.
I have accomplished so in the past.
You are a talented wizard.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know about all that.
You need to be undetectable, and you need to find the final gem.
You want me to hang back, so to speak? Let you draw her attention and try to find the gem?
I want you to locate it. I don't want you to take it. I just need you to find where it is.
I am familiar enough with their energy. I spent enough time around them, I can sort of feel when they are close. I will do this.
And above all, keep yourself out of harm's way. If at any point you become subject to a trap or an attack of some sort or some beast, flee. Your life is far more valuable than one of the gems.
Glad to hear you think so, Drogar. I will do as you ask.
All right, very well. Oh, dear. Boy, do you test me.
I think somebody should have an eye on Irina at all times.
Well, I'm happy to volunteer, says Irina.
She does have a javelin.
Oh, no. I think that you're great and you're going to do great. I just don't... If Dimitri is going to be tracking the gem down, I just want to make sure that we have an eye on Irina.
Don't worry. I am grateful and eager to carry along on your various adventures with you, but after this most recent experience with the Man of Wicca, I think I'll let you do the heavy lifting and stick to the sides.
Stay near the back. Practice your aim.
Aye, indeed.
Olaf, when we approach, try to suss out if there are any traps or creatures perhaps she could use against us. You're familiar with these lands.
I'll do what I can. These lands are just as foreign to me as they are to you. My life and my bow are yours. I will do what I can.
Give me your bow and keep your life.
Yes, please.
How about that?
Yeah. Dimitri is looking for the gem. Olaf is scouting.
Kaz is being a Kaz.
Irina is gonna hang to the back. Do you need me to do something?
I need you to help me do the talking.
Okay. I like that.
She will be prepared for me to be the deal maker. Throw her off her guard, Winnie.
She's done a wonderful job of it so far.
Yes, ask the questions that nobody else is thinking of.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Right.
Very well, then. We have our roles.
You have a job, too.
Oh? What is that, Winnie?
Don't die.
Cue the existential crisis. Yeah, just the eyes. Right.
How to hero if not die?
Laszlo?
Yes.
To not dying, lead the way.
Yes.
Then on we go.
Jack, I want to try something a little crazy.
Yeah, what you got?
What's just like the most general knowledge check that one would roll for hags or witches?
If you want to do like I had Drogar do either Arcana or Nature or History.
Okay. I want to see what you would think about me rolling one and just like maybe if I roll really high.
Yeah.
Were like stories of one that was in like a desert hag.
I'm all
something.
About that. Yeah. Roll to see what you know. Yeah, for sure.
So do I get to pick one of those three?
Yeah. Arcana or Nature or History.
Arcana, Nature or History.
I like to give
all of those are a negative one. So let's see.
Roll to rack your brain.
Guidance.
I know not a damn thing.
I'll give you guidance.
So it was a 9 on the die. Let's just see. Let's just see. Let me roll a d4.
You could get a 4.
2. So 11, 10. So probably not. There were probably no desert hags in the legends of Thar.
No, I mean, I think the largest pieces that you could scrape together, Kaz, were maybe from like children's stories that you may have heard offhand. But even the wildest of children's stories contain within them a seed of truth.
Sure.
And you know that no matter from the stories that you have heard, let's say you've heard stories of like bands of great clerics and paladins storming into a hag's lair to lay waste to this foul presence. But you know, they always, always, always have one last trick up their sleeves.
Hmm. Cool. Oh, that's really great.
Okay,
that's
can I really do a cool. check too?
All right, sure.
Ooh, this is so exciting.
That's so cool.
I'd like to do nature.
Sure.
And that is a 19.
On a 19, Olaf, what you would have heard of Baba Lazaga coming from the Berserkers is the Berserkers are do their best to live succinctly and in harmony with nature. And this creature, Baba Lazaga, is also a spirit of nature, but she is – there is a cruelty to nature, you know. It is inescapable. And like she – even being part of a natural world is just sort of a manifestation of the hunger and the cruelty and the darkness of that nature is capable
of. She's a weed or like bamboo where you don't want it.
She's like wasps laying their eggs in live caterpillars and eating their way out. Oh, she is the fucking poisonous barb that platypuses have on their back legs for some fucking reason. She is a lioness just demolishing a baby antelope. She is, you know what I mean? She's just the harshness.
Fae shit is my favorite.
Yeah.
I love fae shit.
Me
like
too.
Fairy stories, they're so good. Cause it's all just, I mean, it's just more magical Game of Thrones and like more cutthroat. It's all just like, cause like the fae have their own like high society. Mm-hmm. There's titles, there's nobility.
There's a whole court. There's a whole government in place.
But it's all intrinsically tied with nature and it is all vicious.
It's so esoteric. It's like, it's
all delivered with a smile.
Yeah. It's that notion of like high society. Like they create these rules just so poor people can't exist in their society. And the Feywild is that to the umpteenth degree. You know what I mean,
that.
Right?
Hey, like, I'm not saying it's practical, but it's interesting.
It is. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah,
this is why I'm a fucking cleric.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay. Great. Anything else? That's what we know. It. That's kind of where our heads are at.
Yeah. I think that's where we're at.
In we go.
Laszlo kind of floats up to you all again.
Are you ready? I can point the way.
Please. At this point, I think the less ready I am, the better.
Yeah, let's go.
You depart the church and head northwards. He kind of like leads you floating to the bank of a river that's kind of winding its way through this swampy marshland. And as you approach the bank, he turns back and says,
follow the bank of the river. You will come to a willow tree whose branches hang like a great curtain upon a stage. Make your way through and you will find the one you seek hidden in the heart of the swamp.
Very well, Laszlo. Get you gone. We'll find you when we're finished.
I wish you luck, adventurers. You have done what I cannot, what adventurers who came before could not, what no one, perhaps in this valley, has had the strength to do. I only hope it carries you to the end of this venture. Fare thee well, and good luck.
Looks like I picked the wrong day to stop biting my nails.
Kicked a hell of a week to quit sniffing glue.
Beware the witch. Though she lives in this world, her mind dwells in another. Bringing the two together could prove tempestuous.
Well, that doesn't bode well.
I think I've just, in this moment, decided that my favorite word is tempestuous.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Great fucking word.
Yeah, okay. I think party order. Do you want to scout ahead?
Marching
Olaf?
Order? Yeah, what do we got?
Yeah, Olaf first.
You be the scout. I'll be the first line of defense.
Yeah, I'm too dumb to know what we're walking into, so I'm cool with it.
You're sneaky though.
I'm sneaky, but I'm dumb.
You are sneaky.
Too dumb to realize the danger I'm in, but I'm happy to be in it.
It's part of his charm.
Yeah.
You carry on. Olaf scouting ahead.
I'm sorry, real quick. What was it that Laszlo said? Follow the river.
Follow the bank of a river until you come to a willow tree whose branches hang like a great curtain on a stage. Pass through and you will find the witch in the heart of the swamp. And then he sort of like floats off into the air.
Go.
Are we ready?
Stay close. Do not veer from the riverbank.
Drogar wants to pull out some of his rope and would actually like to make a rope line between us. So to the first person in the front, all the way to the back.
Oh, like you're kind of all tied up together, like when you're mountain climbing?
So that we like...
We're holding on.
We're all holding on to it.
Okay, cool.
Don't worry about it. I got this. Kaz will take the rope, and on one end, she'll tie a bowline, and on the other end, she'll tie a bowline, and then at 5-foot increments all down the length of the rope, she's going to try alpine butterfly loops.
Settled.
And that was when Ned quit.
Alpine butterfly loops it is. Is that the loop where you put your hand in, you can like hold onto it like a...
It just makes a loop in the rope that like when you pull on both sides of the rope, the loop doesn't come undone.
So you have little handholds along the way.
Fun fact, I actually use the same configuration for the rope that I use to take Zuma when he pulls me on my skateboard. I hold onto a bowline attaches to his harness, and in between I have three alpine butterfly loops that I can grab onto to shorten the lead if I need to.
Oh.
Wow. That's ballin', Kay, that you know so many bowlins.
That's like first grade public school in Rhode Island. It's just you have to
tie knots.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
Here.
Yes.
I'm going to rip a little tiny strip of white cloth is what this requires.
Ah.
I'm going to rip a tiny little bit more off of my sleeve of my white school uniform shirt. I'm going to say really quick, it's not much, but every little bit counts. Put your hands in. And I'm going to cast aid on all three of them.
Ooh,
very cool.
Your maximum and current hit points increase by 5.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's not temporary hit points. You can heal back up to the increased.
Very cool.
Hit
points.
Wow. So that's a max HP override by 5.
Yeah. All right.
And you can upcast it if you wanted to. You get 5 more hit points per level.
I do want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Fine.
I'm going to cast it at 3rd level.
Wow. 15.
So you get 10. Right?
Yes, correct.
It increases by 5.
Oh, right. It's a second level spell.
It's a second level spell. I'll cast it at 3rd level. So, your max and current hit points go up by 10. For the next 8 hours.
Yeah, so essentially until the next long rest. Very good.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Come get y'all's aid. So following the riverbank.
In we go.
Let's do it. That was very clever with the rope, because like it is such a fey trope, like don't stray from the path.
Oh.
And they will always do something to get you to stray from the path.
And I imagine we got like a little bit of an extra lead for Olaf. So he's got like a little bit of an extra
one. It's tied around his waist.
You carry on along the bank of the river, the ground beneath you getting soggier and soppier as you continue. By the time, you know, after maybe 20 minutes walking, you are trudging. You know, you'll put a foot down and it sinks half a foot into the mud. Even Olaf, you are finding it difficult to traverse this difficult terrain.
Exhausting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Walking through thick mud, that's each step feels like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Following the bank of this river, across the way, you start to see shimmering lights dancing sort of in and out of view across the bank of the river on the opposite side, but it's obscured by the fog and the mists. What would you like to do?
Oh, no. It's happening.
What did I just say? So it's on the other side of the river?
On the other side of the river, yeah.
I'm on the lookout for... like fey magic, so I think I go back and report to the group.
Okay, yeah, he travels back and reports the dancing lights. The time is yours.
Sounds like hag shit to me.
I turn to Olaf and I go, thank you for informing us. And I just go, slap! And I slap him across the face and I go, don't stray from the bank!
You're very lucky that you're a hero right now. Most people would get a knife in the back for that. Or you know what? Maybe the gut. I'm going to keep scouting ahead.
Is that the direction we're supposed to be going, though?
It's on the other side.
It's on the other side of the river.
It's on the other side of the river.
Oh.
Olaf, don't follow the lights.
Don't go into the tall grass. Yeah.
And now as you sort of gather, the rest of you, just from the edge of your viewing, you begin to also see like little lights dancing about on the far side of the bank.
No matter how much money they will offer you for opening a checking account, do not change banks.
Oh, God, banks.
Also a really good band, banks. Check them out. Anyway.
Ignoring the lights.
I think, well, not ignoring, like fully acknowledging and like with what we know, realizing this has got to be a trick.
Do they look like creatures? The little lights. Winnie gets so excited for a second thinking they're little fairies.
Give me a perception.
Remember in the past when I said, don't stray from the path unless it's something really adorable? Even if it is something really adorable, do not stray from the path.
23.
They look exactly like fairies.
I hate this arc. This is so tempting.
That's fae shit.
I want to get this die away from me. Are those little fairies?
I want to do a perception check.
Go ahead.
16.
You look, Drogar, and as you peer at the lights and you kind of narrow your eyes, trying to see if they are, as Winnie describes, fairies, what comes into view for you, you think, it looks like the darting lights of divine magics. Maybe across the way, there's some practitioner of the light across the bank, maybe? Who's to say?
I wave at them.
At the fairies?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a perception check.
21.
They wave back to you, the fairies, and they start beckoning forward, trying to draw you across.
I stop waving and I grab onto Drogar's cloak.
No, there's something off here.
Let's keep moving, please.
Yes. Olaf, lead us forward, please. Along the bank.
There's a shot as Winnie is holding onto Drogar's cloak. We keep moving ahead. She just looks over her shoulder.
Give me a charisma saving throw, Winnie.
Oh, no!
You just had to push it.
14.
Oh, it's so tempting. It's like when you saw the trap door in the boys' room for the first time, and you just, you are so tempted to find out what they are, but you overcome for now.
Winnie?
Because I could feel, the hand, loosening grip, a little bit. And I kind of grab her hand back and I go,
I want you to find a spot on my back. Look at it. Mm-hmm. And don't look away.
Okay.
Do you trust me?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
On we go.
Kaz just starts telling herself. She starts saying out loud how to tie knots.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
In order to tie an alpine butterfly loop, make 1.5 loops around your left hand. Pull the bite through itself. Hang tight, release your hand, and pull. To tie a bowline, make an overhand loop on your right hand, and the tail comes out the hole, goes around the tree, goes back in the hole, pull it tight. A square knot. Right hand over left hand. Half
by the end of it, Kaz is just right yelling hand. Knot
Half
names.
Pull tight, but be warned, it will lock.
That's really great. No, that's great.
That's
yeah, just
awesome.
Busy in your mind. Busy in your
I
mind.
Am
that's great.
Just so excited about this. This is so much fun.
That's so great.
I love fae shit so much.
This is very exciting.
Okay. Carrying on. Eventually, the lights fade from the opposite bank, and you carry on again down the river, hearing the quiet sloshing of the really, the river, it almost looks like it's not moving. The surface is so still. But eventually, as you carry on, the next thing that you experience is a sound rather than a sight. Bah! Bah!
Oh my gosh.
Hola. Olaf has his bow drawn, and he's like, this can't be real.
You edge forward, Olaf, through the mists, and what comes into view, the further and further you travel along the riverbank, the closer the fog hugs around you. And so by this point, it's almost like kind of enveloped you fully, and you can't see very far. So you make your way a little bit farther through the mist, Olaf, and you come across fencing. It kind of stretches off into the distance of the fog in either direction, but it's very clearly like, you know, sort of a chest-high envelopment pretty clearly meant to contain animals.
What kind of condition is it in?
It's made of wood, and the ropes kind of tying together the binding seem certainly weathered, but it's sturdy. It looks still practical. And as you observe it, kind of like you hear like dunk, like a bell swinging from a long neck, and kind of making their way out of the fog, a goat with big floppy ears. Its coat is completely white, and its big floppy ears are brown, and it stares at you with those weird fucking eyes that goats have. It just kind of walks up to you almost expectantly, like looking for a treat. Ah!
Look at me. We are so fucked.
No!
What do you want to... So you come across this first, Olaf. What do you want to do?
I just found us dinner.
One more thing. I'm so sorry. On the top of the posts of all of this fence, topped on each vertical post that runs the length of this fence is what looks like a skull.
Oh.
That changes things.
Well...
Well, sure, it's big enough, but
look at the location. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, the goat is on fire.
So this went from me thinking this was my imagination to, oh, fuck, we're at the devil's house. Yeah, so seeing the skulls and this fucking sheep and goat, I'm like, that's not fucking right. And I'll, like, keep my eyes open with my bow drawn and just slowly retreat back to the group.
Okay.
And then I'll be like, I think we might be here.
Did you see a house or just the goat in the fence?
Yeah, it seems like a fence that's supposed to warn people. There, did you see the skulls?
And as you draw kind of even a little bit closer, there's that initial that all kind of comes to all of your hearing, and then additionally you start to hear like several different sounds. As all of you may be drawing up upon this fence, you start to see coming out of the mist 9 goats, kind of sensing your arrival and hearing your sounds and sensing your smells, kind of make their way up like a petting zoo right up to the rim of this fence, and they're all just kind of staring out. It kind of starts to kick up quite a large amount of noise.
How do we feel about staying where we are for the next 10 minutes?
Can we cast silence first?
That would kind of defeat the purpose of the thing I want to do.
We can stand here for 10 minutes.
Well, everyone's going to know where we are.
Yeah, they're alerting everybody.
If they're here, whoever needs to know already knows. Is that 10 minutes? Is that right? Is that the rules for a ritual casting? Is 10
minutes? Correct, you add 10 minutes to the casting time of the spell.
Okay. If the group is okay with it, Kaz would cast Speak with Animals.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I don't like it, but... Everyone, keep your eyes up.
Head on a swivel, Olaf. I'm going to be a little out of commission for the next 10 minutes. And yeah, Kaz will kneel, and she'll cast Speak with Animals.
Great, you do so. And as you go about the beginnings of this ritual, where your compatriots kind of taking place around you, settling in to keep watch while all this is happening, maybe 2 minutes into this process, the bleating of the goats continues. Higher and higher, almost reaching a fever pitch. And a few minutes into this ritual, Kaz, the rest of you sort of keeping your senses sharp and heads on a swivel as Kaz is conducting this ritual, you start to hear these swooping sounds. And casting your glances about, descending through the fog. So you begin to notice clearly Drogar coming into view, the head of a dragon kind of appearing out of the mists here. But as it draws closer and closer into view, the silhouette of this massive dragon skull falls away, and it is clearly a skull. And sitting inside of this skull as it flies through the air like a magic broom is a hunched old woman, clothed in what looks like a robe made of cattails and swamp reeds, draped about her shoulders. Her hair, you can see, is white but tinged with green, as if moss has begun to grow in the very fabrics of her hair. And it kind of shoots up in this heavily ornamented hairstyle that rises up like the prongs of a tuning fork up into the sky. She leans out of the side of the skull as it sort of hovers like a UFO in the air. And you can see draping her hands on the side of the skull, long yellowed nails that extend out and almost start that like curl that that you get to when nails are left to their own devices too long. And she kind of leans out over this corral, and as she comes into view, the goats all scatter, you know, in various directions. So Kaz is kind of locked in this ritual. What do the rest of you want to do as she's kind of coming into view here?
Am I locked in it? I feel like that...
Well, no, I guess not, yeah.
I feel like that kind of requires concentration, and like something like sure. that I think would break the concentration.
I think I would at least yeah. give you like a punch on the shoulder
yeah,
if like, you didn't notice yourself.
Yeah. yeah. So I think I would argue that I do not cast the spell at all.
Okay, all right. Sort of breaking concentration here.
Too much is going on.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so you are to your devices. What do you want to do as she sort of descends?
I would just grab onto Drogar's robes and try to back up. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, we'll back up.
So trying to, like, stay out of view?
I think she knows we're here, so I'm just drawing my bow and maybe stepping in front of Winnie a little bit.
Can I maybe roll for that? Can I see if maybe I get the sense that she sees us?
Sure, you want to do an insight check? Yeah.
Yeah, I have the sense that she does. Like, that's what my instinct is telling me, but what'd you say? Insight?
Insight, yeah, to see if she, to try and ascertain if she is wary of your presence.
12.
She descends, but she's in this massive dragon skull, which she apparently uses as, you know, some sort of, like, flotation device. She's sort of like bobbing up and down in the air. But if she's noticed you, she has not made any movements in your direction, you know, or any quick changes of direction towards you. See, she seemingly still seems to be floating over this paddock, and you can see as she leans out with her hands gripping the edges of the skull, she sort of like shouts down at the goats themselves.
Quiet! How many times do I have to tell you? I cannot think with all this monstrous bleating. Be quiet, or I will turn you into steaks. Is that what you want? I didn't think so, my little preciouses. Now, Mama is working, so please... be quiet.
And the goats fall silent. And she kind of descends back up into the sky, disappearing into the fog.
Fuck.
We just look at each other like,
you know, on second thought, maybe we don't need Argenvoss. I'm starting to think maybe the other gem is...
Two gems is great.
A lost cause. Shall we head back to Valaki and wait for the whole thing to blow over?
Two seems more than enough. I think we're good.
I think we're good, yes.
Hey, C's get degrees, right?
Are we... DM, do we still see the riverbank? Like, are we still supposed to be...
You're still by the river, yeah.
So we should still be heading along the riverbank to the tree.
Mm-hmm. If you want, yeah.
But the fence is in our way, or
no? You can squeeze between the riverbank and the fence. Oh. There's room for you to pass. Yeah, following its curve, you see. Yeah, it curves away at a certain point, and you can carry on.
Well, if she's here, maybe if we go the willow way, we get to her house.
I believe so.
I think maybe we should do that anyway. Maybe we can head her off even.
Yes.
Great. Great. Okay.
Olaf, keep moving in with haste. Slosh, 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 slosh.
You carry on, following the bank of the river, leaving the goat paddock behind. And you carry on for time. It's just all wibbly-wobbly here. You can't be sure for how long you walk. But finally, emerging out of the mists, you hear the gentle rustling of leaves as you come to a massive, massive willow tree. Its canopy hanging down, you know, those long, lean, slender, flexible branches dotted with those thin, long leaves, much like, as Laszlo mentioned, the sort of curtain of a great stage. And they sway back and forth ominously in the dead breeze of the swamp. Shh, as you approach.
Mother Willow. We all saw Pocahontas. It's Mother Willow.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. Something like that.
Listen with your heart. You will understand.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That's a very good Mother Willow impression.
Thank you. I've never done one before.
So on the other side of this willow, ideally, we will find the witch.
If the Burgomaster's word can be trusted, yes.
Well, he hasn't led us astray yet. And as far as he said, we've reached the mile markers he's spoken of. Oh, dear, help me.
We've come this far. We'll be okay. If we stay together.
Not the time for scouting. We all go into the tree as one.
Yes. Okay. Everyone hold on to the rope. We head in.
You pass through the branches.
Oh.
Emerging on a sunny...
Oh. Oh, God.
Idyllic glade inside. Moving through the willow, you can see, you know, the trunk is far off in the distance. It's clearly a massive tree. But what is more immediate to you as you pass through, you see an idyllic cottage sat in the stump of what once must have been an enormous tree. So there's like the stump coming up out of the ground and a cute little cottage sitting on top of it with smoke merrily puffing out of the chimney. The roots of the stump thrust up from the ground below, like the legs of a gigantic spider. So there are these huge root-like appendages digging into the earth with this cottage sat on top of it.
Interesting that he said spider and not chicken.
It just looks like spider legs to us.
Well,
you can see inside the door to the cottage is open. You don't hear any voices emanating from inside, and you don't see any sight of the huge skull that she was using as some sort of transportation device. But the door is invitingly open. What would you like to do?
Do we feel any different, or is it just we just stepped into this nice, bright area?
You just stepped into this, and it's weird. It's like the light is it's not coming from any direction. You know what I mean? There's almost no shadows in the place. It's just like this like pastel kind of color everywhere.
And
right?
Turning around, we can still see the willow.
You just see the curtain of willow fronds behind you. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Trigar will
pop his head back through the willow fronds and see if it's that way on the other side.
On the other side, yeah, you emerge back into the sort of dreary mire.
Well, it's still a swamp behind us.
That's good, I think.
I think so, too.
I mean, that's good, I think.
What should we do, Dee? I think you might be right. Maybe we drew her away from her home. If she's still out and gone, maybe we could just sneak in and get the gem before she's any the wiser. Should we go?
Oh, Dimitri, I would not enter that house for all the gold in the world.
But would you do it for the final gem?
We're here. I'll go if it must be one of us. I owe you this much.
Should we stake it out for a second?
Yes, I think we should wait for a moment before we go guns blazing. I don't know what a gun is. It's just a word that popped into my head.
Should we circle around it?
Not if that involves splitting up.
No. I don't want to split up.
Let's move a little closer first.
Is it just an open field from here to the...
To the house, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's nothing not to really hide behind or anything.
Do you want me to try to locate the gem?
That is a very good idea, Winnie. You know what the other two look like.
You've been able to do it before.
Yeah. Do you want me to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Carefully.
1 second.
Can I do a perception check on the cottage? Do I see anything else besides
what are you trying to perceive?
If it is inhabited right now.
Sure.
I would do one just for movement. Do I see anything moving?
From the cottage or the surrounds? Yeah. You can do me a. You can give me a perception as well.
I would like to look at the surrounding, like things looking
Yeah, anyone cottage. Who would like to is welcome to do a perception.
Natural 20.
A nat 20.
Oh, sure.
Oh, did you? I can't forget who the. I can't remember who the first person was.
I think while they're perceiving.
I rolled something, but don't worry about it.
While they're perceiving, I'm going back and rustling through the brush under the willow tree to find a little twig. Mm-hmm. And snapping it, and the dust will
locate object, yes.
pour out, locate object on okay, the last great. Gem.
Let's do that first. You cast the spell, Winnie. And you're well practiced at this point, having done so in the Battle of Yesterhill, which feels like a lifetime ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you get that same strong resonance, that same draw and that same ping. Of the gemstone dwelling somewhere deep, like at the heart of the home.
Okay.
Is coming from within the house itself. Perception for all of those looking about. Olaf checking the surround with the aid of Kaz. It's so strange. It's almost like you've entered this weird bubble and you can't even sort of sense the wind blow anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't get anything from the sort of surrounds. And Drogar, with a 20, you approach and you don't get any sense of movement from inside. But what you do hear. Sounds the unmistakable. Cries of a baby.
Does anyone else hear that?
Yeah, if you, like keyed in from Drogar's notice, drawing closer, all in a hunch. Yeah, it eventually does meet your ears. The cries of an infant.
Yeah.
God, has she got a child in there?
I don't quite know. Remember, things are not as they seem with hags. Manipulation is their tactic.
But if there's a babe inside, she's probably going to eat it.
Irina, I remind you, how far away are we from the nearest settlement?
You're right, of course, I just...
I know. I am not saying there is not a child in there. What I am saying is we need to be patient, and we need to rule everything out. If we are hasty and we move too quickly... She will win.
But if we wait too long, Dimitri pipes up, we risk her returning and losing the element of surprise.
The gem is in there. It's in the center of the house.
All right. Kaz?
I'm going to assume she already knows we're here.
Yes.
That's not going to stop me from going in for what we're after.
All right. Follow me.
Drogar will step.
Oh, fuck me.
Into the spooky fucking house.
We all step in together.
Yeah, remember when you read Hansel and Gretel and thought, well, why did they go in the house? Go fuck yourself.
But also,
you would have gone in the house too.
Hansel and Gretel weren't badasses like us, so.
Too true.
They don't have a Kaz and a Winnie, okay? And a Papa Drogar.
Also, the story of Hansel and Gretel wasn't written when Hansel and Gretel were actually doing it, so they didn't have anything to learn from.
True.
Very true.
We digress.
You make your way. Your feet make a sort of pleasant, woody, sort of hollow sound as you make your footsteps up the steps carved into the stump of this massive trunk of a tree. As you make your way up, you come to the level and the cottage sits before you. It's a door ajar, a warm, inviting glow emanating from inside. And as you draw closer, it's warm and inviting. And there's like a wonderful smell emanating from in there, like maybe she's hot.
Cinnamon.
Like, maybe the whole house is made of candy. I don't know. Yeah, probably smells like cinnamon. Who's to say? And drawing closer and closer again,
that cinnamon?
Oh, interesting. I thought it was fresh cut grass.
I smell deep roast steak.
You can go inside?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I thought you said the door was open.
It is, but you push it and it kind of creaks on its hinges as it swings fully wide.
It only moves like 1 inch, yet it still makes like 3 feet full worth door. Of creaking.
Yeah. Inside is a very inviting scene. It's 15 by 15
sure it is.
Feet on each side, packed with old furniture. A wooden cot, a wicker cabinet, a wardrobe, a table, a stool. And in the middle of the room is unmistakably a crib.
Oh, boy.
Like a child's bassinet. And you can hear those soft cries emanating from inside. And beneath the floor of the crib, gentle green light emanates up from the floorboards beneath. The time is yours.
Where is my dust pointing me?
Yeah, I'm on gem searching mode.
Oh, directly to the crib.
Into the crib or under the crib?
Under.
Like where that green light's coming from?
Yeah.
Well, also skull searching mode. So my assumption is that skull is what we saw her riding on.
That might be Argenvash's skull. Yes.
Right? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
it was very clearly a dragon skull.
Yeah. Fuck!
Yeah.
She's riding around in it.
Guys, I have a 9 intelligence score. Was that not abundantly clear to you all?
I forgot that we were looking for Argenvash's
skull. I'm sorry, I was too shocked by the woman inside of the skull.
All right, well, obviously I'm the one who takes the notes. I'm looking around. I'm just... Despite... seeing that was very clearly a dragon skull, I'm just going to take a quick cursory glance and see if I see a skull.
Give me your perception check.
Okay.
That was like a month and a half ago, okay?
It's true. It was a while ago.
Memories last.
But yeah, we are here also presumably to find Argenvash's skull.
Right.
To return to the tower and save the world.
I remember 21 this now.
21. Casting a glance around the cottage, Kaz, you don't see any mention of a skull, but what you do notice is that all the furniture in this building is bolted to the floor.
It's bolted to the floor.
It's bolted to the floor.
It's bolted to the floor.
What?
And at that moment, you hear from outside the rushing sounds of wind that you heard when she sort of made her flew in over the goat paddock.
Jesus. Hide!
And you hear and like the soft sound of like something heavy setting down on the grass outside.
Grab the gem quick.
What do you all want to do?
I think I get down on my hands and knees and scurry over to the crib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Scurrying over.
Peering under it. To where the dust is leading me.
Underneath, yeah. So you crawl underneath the crib and you can see between the floorboards, there's just, yeah, that bright, pale, greenish light emanating from between the floorboards. But, it, you know, kind of peering, you can't see anything underneath. You just see the light emanating up from below. What are the rest of you doing? You start to hear, like, footsteps coming up the wooden steps outside.
Sword drawn, hide behind a bolted down couch. But one that, like, of all the furniture that is hide behindable, whatever's closest to the door.
Okay, great.
I still want to be the front line.
Hiding?
Yeah.
There's, like, lots of objects in here. You could get in the cabinet, you could get behind an armoire, you know, like, there's lots of options.
Okay, Drogar will clunkily hide behind the armoire.
Clang, 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 clang.
Winner, are you in the open? You're going under the crib.
I was going to crawl over and look, and I turn back to Drogar and just say, down there.
Oh, yeah,
down
wait.
There.
Okay, so we don't have very much time. Okay, let me revise.
No, you can hear it. She's like walking up the steps.
Okay.
I'd like to say I like kind of grab Winnie and pick, we don't have time, little one. And just like, me and you get behind something.
Yeah, so I think we do.
Put me in a little cabinet.
Yeah, well, at this point, I think I'd keep you
okay.
with me.
Okay, yep.
So everyone's hiding. So great.
We know where the gem is. It's underneath the crib.
In short, hiding.
Yeah, everyone give me a stealth check as you try to duck. There's lots of furniture and things that there's ample opportunity.
God
but
damn
it. But it has to be fast. All right, what do we got?
14.
14.
14.
14.
Natural one.
Oh! No!
It's a six.
Oh, God.
Okay. Team dead.
Yeah, down the dice throwing hallway.
Two die down the hall.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
So you all kind of scramble for a moment to try and find these hiding places.
I think runs head into a cabinet. He's like,
yeah.
If that's a six, what's a natural one?
I think I was like so concerned about Winnie that I like got her like behind something and then I like slipped or tripped.
And you just kind of like you dive under like a chaise and just are like trying to hide under. Yeah. The last possible thing can find.
There's a scene, there's an episode of Adventure Time where Finn and Jake try to sneak into Marceline the Vampire Queen's house.
Yeah.
And then it's like she wakes up and they hide and like Finn puts a lampshade over his head and Jake just like morphs himself into Finn.
Yeah.
It's like, you were hiding as me?
That's it. Yeah, Drogar puts a lampshade on his head.
Full plate armor, lampshade.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. So here you sit.
Oh, we're so fucked. Dude, we were going into Baba Lasaga's house. We were fucked already.
I know.
You hear, from your vantage, maybe you can't see, but you hear again. As the door opens and you hear,
did you miss me, baby? I'm so sorry Mama was gone for so long. I know, my precious. But I had to check. The goats were bleating, and you never know what sort of traitors might be hiding in the mist. I'm sorry, my darling. A song for you. A lullaby to drift you back off to sleep.
And she goes over and she reaches her long, gnarled fingers into the crib and pulls up. You can't even, it's just a swaddle of dirtied cloth. And she clutches it tightly to her breast and starts kind of rocking it back and forth. And you can hear the cries from this infant swaddled in these bandages and wraps. She just begins to cry, to sing softly.
I don't like this.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a flaming sword. Quench that flaming sword in blood. Mama's gonna buy you a hangman's hood. And when those traitors' toes all swing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring. You can come out if you promise not to wake the baby.
Sorry. It's just me.
One of the folk who live under the mountain. Have you come to my home, I wonder?
I thought you would want to heal this land. You're one of its people.
I do not need to heal this land, for it is in the tender care of my baby. Isn't he handsome? Strahd von Zarevich is his name. And he will grow up to rule these lands as a just, gracious, and noble king. Is he not handsome?
Yes, he's beautiful.
Have you come to look upon your new king? A noble quest.
Yes, I wanted to see how my people could serve.
Give me a persuasion check.
Oh, that's good.
Great. That's
wow.
Great. That's
what
great.
The fuck? Oh, Tyler.
That's great.
Guidance.
Well, all of you are like, hide. You were like peeking through the gap D4, of an armoire and like, yeah.
I'm going to be that guy real quick. Guidance is touch.
It is technically touch. Or it's within a certain radius or something. Yeah.
All right.
And it also has verbal and somatic components. So yeah.
Persuasion?
Yeah, give me a persuasion.
Well, that's a two on the die for a
one. Oh.
Fuck.
Your people have long been a thorn in my baby's side. He only wants to bring law, order, justice, and beauty to this valley. Why do you insist on trying to thwart his noble endeavors?
That's why my people sent me. We want to make a change. We want to work for the land.
This witch of wisdom I am not grown accustomed to in your people. Very well. If what you say is true, come. Pay homage to your king, your ruler. Kiss my child.
And she kind of extends the bundle towards you.
Love. Jesus. What do I see in the bundle? Just...
It's swaddled up. You can't see any of it. You can just hear the faint cries, but you can't see anything except the blankets it's wrapped in right now.
Go. It will be a blessing. Kiss the baby.
I cannot. It would not be right.
You will. Or you will be his dinner.
I am not worthy to kiss the king.
Give me a persuasion.
Come on.
Take a d4. Take a d4.
Jeez, I can't take a d4. I will take your dice.
Take the gold.
Though.
Take the gold one. Take the gold
this one.
This one.
Which one? This
one. Yeah.
7.
It's not the dice.
It's the dice. That was only an 8.
Okay.
He is not worthy because he is not the leader of the berserkers.
Oh my god!
She whips her head around.
Another comes to submit to my beautiful boy.
Yes. The Berserker clan is under new management.
And she's like, she's throwing glances at Olaf, like
standing like this.
Her eyes are going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
As leader of the Berserkers, we thought it only appropriate that I myself should come to pay tribute to Strahd von Tsarevich.
Finally, proper manners for your king.
Very well, leader of those most savage folk. Come, pay homage to my son, to your king. Kiss the baby.
Kaz will approach.
I pray you, lady, show me his glorious face that I might kiss it with the enraged fervor of my people.
Yes, it will only do to look upon his majesty, his beauty.
And she brings the bundle over to you.
My throat is dry. I'm scared.
And she starts to pull back layers of blanket, revealing the child's face. The first thing that cannot escape your notice, Kaz, is the stitching. cutting a clear division across its face. And this is familiar to you, having seen something of this like before. It's a flesh golem.
Ooh. Okay.
Of an infant.
Yeah. Fuck.
Go on. Kiss your liege lord.
For a quick perception, is there anything else I can notice? Just visual. Like, just
About the child?
Yeah. I don't know. Does its skin look particularly poisonous? Or any, like,
no,
just
it is gray and pallid, like I mean, it's stitched together.
Yeah.
Pieces.
I think. Yeah. Okay. Kaz just plays along. She's gonna go in and she's gonna.
Oh my god.
She's going for it. She's gonna kiss the baby.
Oh god.
You do so. Its skin is very cold. as you bend down and kind of like bend down and then come back. As you come back into view, her face, her eyes have grown like wild and savage. What once were these sort of like dull, marshy brown eyes have turned yellow and wild like fire as she looks at you and says, "Yes, yes, another true believer.
Another soldier in my baby's army."
"Very good." And she quickly swaddles him back up and returns him to the crib.
Now that we are all good friends, tell me, what is it Baba can do for you?
And I think we'll call it there.
Oh my God.
Broadcast features Campbell O'Hare as Winnie, Ned Price Iannacone as Drogar, Kay Devine Jones as Kaz, Tyler Cantor as Artemis, and me, Trevor William Fail, as your DM. What a beautiful day. The sun is shining. We've got new patrons.
We've got new patrons.
Special shout out to our newest patrons, Malia Adamson, Oat Milk Tea, Twin Seed, and Aaron Glover. Welcome to the party. If you're not ready to support us financially, there are still plenty of ways to help us out. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at CriticalFailDM, Binge Madness and Mercy on our YouTube channel, and join us there every other Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time when we do live listens of new episodes of the Stroudcast. Or rate and leave us a review wherever you like to listen. Thanks, Dungeoneers, and take your day with advantage.